back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester, and with me as always, though further away geographically than he's been all month, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I'm very jet-lagged. I came back from a month vacation, and this is really like zero with world problems, but like a month vacation, and my internet's out for 4 days, and I literally had to work at my neighbor's house all day. Truly one of the worst things that ever happened to me. But now
your neighbor's not home because where is he?
He's the coach of the Israel women's flag football team. They're in Denmark or something. I don't know. It's just me and his wife at home all day. It's very awkward.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. All right. So we're here to talk about a brand new team, a team that has never existed before, at least in their current iteration, the Los Angeles Chargers. Number 20 on our power rankings. They are in a new stadium. They have new uniforms. They stole their uniforms from one team. They're borrowing a stadium that has seats like, what, like 30,000 people or something?
30,000.
Yeah, almost all of Philip Rivers' family, I think. And here to discuss the Los Angeles Chargers he's been a fan of the team as long as they've existed, Barstool Ken Jack. So, Jack, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. In New York City today, it's almost about fall weather. It's like that first day where it's like sort of low 60s and everything. So you kind of get like, you know, the juices start flowing for football. So now I'm like actually super paying attention to every single roster move that's ever made, as opposed to summer where I'm just like, I don't want to do anything except sit in AC and like melt.
Well, so let's start with that. You're in New York. I'm in New York also. You are. How are you a Chargers fan? And does the move from San Diego to LA affect your Chargers fandom in any way?
Yeah, so I was born on Long Island, and my entire life, my family was never really, they didn't hold any real sports loyalty towards anything except the Yankees. Since I was kind of growing up in the generation where there's no way you're not going to be able to get all the content from every single team. They were like, just watch whoever you like. Like, whoever you enjoy, like, enjoy that team. You don't have to like the Giants or the Jets or, I don't even really count the Bills, but the Bills, just because they're geographically closer. So for me, growing up, it was right when LT really got in his stride was when I started watching football. So I just kind of clung to him, and it's been essentially constant misery ever since. And so when they made the big move from San Diego to LA, it didn't really affect my fandom in a crazy amount. I personally do not like LA at all. Like the culture, I don't like the heat, I don't like the traffic, I don't like just about anything about it. And all of that, it's like the antithesis of San Diego in just about every single way. But as like a remote fan, it doesn't make a huge amount of difference.
Yeah, I mean, right, it is weird because one of the only teams we haven't done yet, and actually the only team we don't even have like a fan for, is the LA Rams, because a lot of their fans, you know, basically did not make the move with them, right? The St. Louis people stayed loyal to St. Louis. But
year, we should mention the Rams fan we had, who was the host, or is the host, maybe still is, of the official Los Angeles Rams podcast. We started asking him, and he's like, "Well, I'm actually a Bears fan."
I don't even remember like, that. What? That's insane.
Yeah, and we're like, "What? So how are you a Rams fan?" He's like, "Well, I live in LA, so I'm a Rams fan also now." We're like,
"That is a very LA move, though. I don't remember that, yes. But it sounds like it's true." I wanted to, you know, we usually start by talking about the quarterback, Jack, but I think there's not much new to be said about Philip Rivers, and Chester already made a kid's joke, so that's, I think, his allotment for the podcast. But I am super curious about Anthony Lynn. I'm a Jets fan, so I'm pretty familiar with him. He was, you know, Rex's number one, you know, main, like, assistant, basically, for most of the time he was there. But I will say I'm super nervous about Lynn, because I hate the coaches who are, like, overpromoted and were never offensive coordinators. And devil's advocate, you could say, I think, that African-American coaches don't get the coordinator gigs maybe as often as they should. I don't have any of the data in front of me, but it does seem like it's not the first time this has happened, right? And the question would be more like, you know, how come he was never a coordinator? But I'm a little concerned with Lynn. He came in talking about, like, running the football a lot, which is such a Rex move. All of his press conferences, he's just, like, repeating Rex Ryan stuff. So am I way off, or are you a little bit nervous about Lynn?
So everything I've read about Lynn so far, I try and look at it more from a player perspective, because the way that they respond to a new coach is usually a good barometer for how they're going to do throughout the season. Because like, if they don't have chemistry with the coach and between coach and players, there's never really gonna you're not gonna have success at any level. And so far, every player, especially the most important, like the skill positions, they've had nothing but good things to say about him. And the biggest thing is he's huge on accountability. He had like this full list. I think I still had it, like an outline for his for the set was at the 75-man roster, which I liked. And he had it's like a 5-point thing, which is: does he know what he's doing? Is he consistent? Is he dependable? Is he in shape to finish a ball game? And does he have enough talent? And so that's what I kind of like about him compared to a lot of coaches, especially McCoy, where he's not going to legacy anybody in. He's not going to like let someone come in and stay because they're a big name. Like a good example of that is Orlando Franklin, who played like absolute dog shit for like – oh, we had a lot of curse on here. I forgot.
Yeah, that's fine.
I wasn't really paying attention before. But he played like dog shit all year, and they just kind of let him stay because he was a big name ex-Bronco. Like he had a really good, like solid career, but he was playing terrible forever. But they just let him stay as a starter when you had someone a little more dependable, like Wiggins in the wings. But then
what about the fact that like he says that Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates couldn't go see their close buddy get put into the Hall of Fame? I mean, that seems like bullshit, hard ass, like fake NFL coach, you know, cliche.
Yeah, so I read into that too, and apparently part of it was like he spoke to both of them about it, and they're like, do you want to go, or do you want to be here for this? Like, it's really up to you. I'm not going to like force you to stay and go to a practice. And like, from all outward appearances, which obviously that's not like guaranteed what actually happened, but what Rivers said is like, he's like, yeah, it was my decision. Like Lynn prompted it to me that I could skip the practice and go if I want. It would be on me, and that like, I wouldn't be disciplined or anything, but like I chose to stay and like run through the last of the it wasn't the end of OTAs. It was like the end of training camp, or towards the middle of the start of training camp. So I don't think it was something where he gave them like a, it's like, you're going to be like in the shit house if you go to this. So, I mean, I'm okay with that.
And what are they going to do? Like bench Phillip Rivers? Like, I'm not, you know, he shouldn't be too nervous.
Yeah. And I don't see him getting benched for Cardell Jones or motherfucking Collins ever anytime soon.
Well, Kellen Clemens isn't back up on the Chargers anymore. I think he's somewhere.
Yeah, Kellen Clemens is the main backup right now. He's battling with Cardell.
I have a theory that I've said a bunch of times on this podcast. But like the bad backup QBs who, for whatever reason, get lucky and they're behind a quarterback who never gets hurt, such as Phillip Rivers, who's played every game for 11 straight years. Like Kellen Clemens would have been out of the league 8 years ago if he just played a little bit more, because you'd see how much he sucks. But since he never plays, there's no reason to like upgrade on the backup, because you assume A, that you're not going to use him, and B, like he might be good because you haven't seen him suck. But like I saw him the 1 year, I think 07, where he was our main QB for the Jets,
and he
was, you know, as bad as Brooks Bollinger was that year.
He was very awful. I think I looked at his career ratio the other day. I think he has like 16 career touchdowns, 20 career interceptions, and he's been playing since like 2005. Like how? Yeah. Is it even possible? He's almost like a David Carr, except David Carr, I thought, was a more serviceable backup than Clemens ever was.
It's weird because I actually think like the Chargers are one of the few teams that, and I don't know much about the owner's politics, but like maybe would you know, even consider Kaepernick, and certainly LA is one of the better markets to do it in. It would be hard to argue, and we said this many times, it would be hard to argue that Kellen Clemens is better like at football than Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, he's not. And actually, me and some of my Chargers stands on, I have like very, there's very few Chargers fans on Twitter, believe it or not.
Is there a Chargers Twitter? Are you like involved in Chargers Twitter? We should, we mentioned your Twitter, but we should mention like that Ken is like one of the funniest guys on Twitter. That's where I found him, that you're really funny on Twitter. But I wouldn't be shocked if like Mets Twitter it feels like it's 5 million people. I wouldn't be shocked if you told me Chargers Twitter was like 13 people.
It's like I think I grand total it is 5 people that I know that like I am in communication with, and we have a consistent tweet basis. And I think the other day we were tweeting somebody who said like they very earnestly believed that Colin Kaepernick was nowhere, like not in the same stratosphere as Kellen Clemens. And like it, that to me like blows my mind. And I agree with you that. Yeah, I was like, there's no feasible way you can look at both of their stats and say, like, oh, yeah, actually, Colin Clemens is better. Like, there's no way you can, like, objectively look at it in any other way other than I don't want his protesting stuff. Like, he's, like, and I agree with you, L.A. would definitely be the market to do it. Midwest teams might be a little less receptive.
It's not even, like, the liberal attitude. It would be the indifference to the team. Like,
yeah, nobody exactly cares about the Chargers.
Yeah, exactly. The people in L.A. don't give a shit. And, like, even if they did, like, if they were really into the Chargers, which they're not, I don't think they would have a problem with it anyway. And I agree.
It actually might bring a few fans. It's maybe the only place where they could actually like fill the stadium because of it, possibly.
Yeah, well, filling a stadium's not very hard. But
no,
yeah, filling 30,000 seats. You know, and then since I think the NFL merger, whatever that was, like 76 or something.
1970, yeah.
Yes, 1970. I think the minimum amount of seats you were allowed to have is 50,000, and StubHub Center has 30K. Like, that is so bad. And they still can't fill the stadium. I know it's preseason, and I've been tweeting it myself that, like, no one should really give a shit. But, like, it's 30,000 seats. It shouldn't be crazy hard to sell out.
The San Diego to LA drive, which I've actually done, is it's a good drive to do once. I don't think you do it, like, 8 times for season tickets, though. So if there was, like, a particularly interesting opponent or a big game, I could see like a lot of the old fans coming up if they haven't written off the team. But to do that 8 times, I feel like is brutal.
Oh, there's no chance. And I don't know if you saw that they put out that video the other day they were offering free tattoos, like free Chargers tattoos.
Oh man, that's like single A minor league baseball stuff.
The best thing is that they interviewed all the people that were going to the LA tattoo artist to get the Chargers tattoos, and they're like, oh yeah, so like where are you from, and they're like, yeah, I'm from San Diego. Yeah, I'm from Mission Beach. Yeah, I'm from this, like, the gas lamp. Like, they were all from San Diego. They just went there because they wanted a free tattoo. Like, none of them are L.A. fans that converted to being a Chargers fan.
Have you ever been to a Chargers home game?
Not a home game. I've been to plenty of away, though. Actually,
I think Chargers at Jets, basically. Like, people just throwing tickets at you.
Yeah, the best was the last one. I think the last game I went to was Chargers, the Chargers Jets in Meadowlands. And it was, I think we won, like, be sacked. What the hell is his name? The guy, the Alabama quarterback that the Jets had for like,
not AJ McCarron, but I'm blanking his name, and I should definitely know it.
Yeah, he was like behind the depth chart on Tebow, behind Sanchez, and somehow he started ahead of Tebow. Fuck, Greg McElroy.
Yeah, Greg McElroy. Yeah, he's like a chemist now or something.
Yeah, so Greg McElroy started the game, and we sacked him 11 and a half times.
It was crazy.
Half a sack away from the sack record.
By the end of the game, it was insane. I don't believe I was at that game, but I definitely saw it. And yeah, it was like the Jets' offensive line was like not NFL level, and you guys were like in his face all day. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was hilarious. We had a punt return touchdown, and then Antonio Gates tied Lance Allworth for like the Chargers touchdown record. It was a great day for me. And then like none of my friends from home are Chargers fans, so they're all Jets fans, just absolutely miserable.
That is an annoying thing. I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan, and like you, I'm from New York, and the Spurs won their first title in 1999, oddly against the Knicks, the team all my friends rooted for, and I just like gave myself a high five and like went and like, you know, went to sleep or something. Like, there's nothing to do when you don't have any friends who are, I still don't have any friends who are Spurs fans. I'm not really on Spurs Twitter. Like, all the Spurs beat writers are trash, and like it's weird, like being a fan of a team, but it's like a very isolating experience. So you probably have that too, right? Like, certainly when you're in school or anything, it wasn't like there were people you could talk Chargers with.
Yeah, so that's the one very good thing about now compared to then is social media. So yeah, whenever we have a big win, that is the one outlet I have, is I can go and brag to the moon.
Four.
Yeah, my other four Chargers fans. It's like me. Like, do you ever see that Vine of like the guy playing like the radio to like the three people underneath the balcony? That's like me just sitting there with like my four Chargers fans, just like, oh hell yeah, Philip Rivers just got like a 13-yard conversion to Keenan Allen, and like other people are like, I don't even know who that is.
You go on Chargers Reddit and like write a like a fired up post.
They might. Dude, I can't even do. They do have Chargers Reddit, and it's an absolute shithole. It's just very, very angry San Diegans just like venting about everything.
The Jets one is like very young people. Like, I would like to, you know, I would have. It seems like it would be a good resource, but it's like people who are like 21 and younger, and like not really huge fans. Also,
Yeah, Chargers Reddit is just like kind of like a shithole. Much like what do you call it?
I'm thinking like in general.
Yeah, Reddit in general. That's like an evergreen statement. It's like blank Reddit is a shithole.
All right, so let's talk for a second about the Chargers draft this offseason. Superfan Robbie, our college football expert, he really likes what the Chargers did in the draft. He thinks Mike Williams is the best receiver in the draft. He likes both guards that you guys got. He likes Desmond King in the fifth round. He thinks that was a steal. He likes Rayshon Jenkins also. So what are your thoughts about the Chargers' inaugural draft since moving to L.A.?
So Mike Williams, I have like a sort of I don't want to call it like a symptom effect with Mike Williams, where like every single Mike Williams that is a receiver in the NFL has sucked. They've always been drafted high, and they've
third time's the charm
high.
Though.
Yeah, third time was obviously the charm when like his back fell into shambles. So but most of the other drafts so far have liked, obviously Forrest Lamp kind of sucked, tearing ACL really that early into camp especially really sucks. But so far, Desmond King has been so good in both, not even just like regular workouts, but in preseason and regular game action, he's been like outstanding. And I'm really hoping he's probably going to end up, or like, at least he should, getting the spot over Trevor Williams at right cornerback, although I don't think he's going to end up getting it because he's, I think they classify him right now as like kind of roaming free safety. But I would hope that they were able to convert him into that because Trevor Williams kind of sucks. But he has been so good. I think he has 3 picks on the preseason so far, and like one of them was crazy athletic and returned it for a decent amount of yards. But yeah, I still am very frustrated with Mike Williams, especially because I remember seeing like hearing rumblings that they were going to go for him, and I'm like, there's no real need. Keenan is so good.
But Keenan has yet to play a full season, so
yeah, I was like, I understand if they have injury concerns or whatever, but we still have Tyrell Williams, who was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Travis Benjamin's really good. Even some of the younger guys like Burse were like at least serviceable during the.
Plus,
interim.
You have 2 competent tight ends. Most teams don't have 1.
Yeah, exactly. So Hunter Henry is like insanely good. Like people are kind of underrating him a lot. I think, I had him in fantasy last year as like a sort of in between like filler option. And I'm like, holy shit, he's kind of like the 5th best tight end in fantasy. And then I realized, what do you call it? And then still AT, who's still evergreenly amazing. I'm trying to think of who else I really had negative thoughts. I'm not really. So Dan Feeney, I think, is going to get a lot of action too. Because our offensive line, as always, consistently breaks down into pieces. So I imagine him getting a little playing time. Rayshon Jenkins, I know, will probably get playing time because Jahleel Adai concusses himself into like oblivion every other play. I don't know if you've I'll send you guys the clip later, but like there's one, I forget what game it was last year, I think like the 3rd game of the season, he ran into like a dog pile and literally concussed himself almost into the hospital. Like he got up out of the pile and like stumbled off his feet and like fell on the ground. It was so bad. And I remember the Lithgow 7th round pick I liked a lot, Isaac something, but the guy from Notre Dame. But he was pretty good too. But I think our draft is pretty good, except for like the very glaring, terrible injuries.
You talked about the offensive line. Russell Okung, is he the new left tackle?
Yeah, so he's going to be starting left tackle. Matt Slauson got moved from center to left guard, which is awesome because even though he was a good center, I feel like it's better to have an actual career center over a converted guard. Then Kenny Wiggins will be at right guard, and Joe Barksdale, who was probably our most consistent and best tackle last year, he's going to be staying. So thank God.
So other than Bosa, who at this point, maybe, I feel like by the end of the year, you might start seeing Bosa in commercials. I feel like he's on that sort of trajectory, right? That he's, may become a big star in the league this year. Other than Bosa, how does the defense look? To me, in particular, the secondary looks a little bit it would make me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, so the secondary is definitely way improved. Finally, Brandon Flowers retired, so they replaced him with Trevor Williams, who should be solid. Casey Hayward was amazingly good last year. Like, I think he had 7 picks, and I think I had a stat in front of me earlier, but 20 passes defended, which isn't, like, really, really good for somebody who was kind of supposed to be, like, a nickel corner that got forced into a cornerback 1. So he's their secondary is definitely improved. If Jahleel Dye stays healthy, he'll be amazing. Dwight Lowry kind of sucks too, but they have more depth behind him with Trey Boston, who they got from Carolina. I think our biggest so far gaping hole, like pretty much literally, is our linebacking core, which kind of sucks. And I project, like, if I had to put like my guess on like what's going to be our biggest downfall, it's going to be our run defense, because I think our starting linebacking crew is going to be Melvin Ingram, who's amazing, not incredible at stopping the run, but such a great pass rusher. And him and Bosa as a 2-man tandem on pass rush is going to be, I think, if they're both healthy this year, probably like the top 3, if not maybe the best, like rushing tandem in the league. And that's like my biggest hot take for the Chargers, by the way. So you already have it out of the way. And then they're going to probably start Kyle Emanuel in the middle with Denzel Perriman. Denzel Perriman actually shattered his ankle in game one of preseason. So he's going to be replaced with Corey Toomer, who was also very good last year in replacement. And then they're going to have Jatavis Brown right side linebacker, who was also really, really good in replacement last year. But they're all pretty glaringly bad at run defense. So that's going to be a little bit rough, I think, this year. But our front line should be solid, too, because Brennan Meebane was really good last year. Bose is obviously great. Corey Legit does not merit his contract, but is still amazing at both pass rushing and run defense. So hopefully it kind of works out on defensive end. Definitely much improved from last year.
Can I ask about the departure of Danny Woodhead, who one could almost argue was, a former colleague of yours?
Yes. He was, really the heart and soul of the team. Just I loved him so much, and
unironically, seriously, you did.
Very, very unironically loved Danny Woodhead. Not in the PFT sense where it's an obsession, but I was in love with him. He was such a great man, and our running back core, they're all super tight. So him, Brennan Oliver, and what do you call it? I might blank on our
Melvin Gordon.
They're all really tight together. I know Oliver and Woodhead used to go over each other's house all the time, and their families would hang out and stuff. So I feel like I was almost more sad about that. Their families got separated in this big catastrophic event of sending him to the shit Ravens.
I mean, I do Marshall think Wilson. He's gonna he will the Ravens right now are looking like one of those teams that might be just headed on a freight train towards disaster this year. So Woodhead may really, and that's also an absurd player to have on a team that maybe is rebuilding, Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, exactly. He's not even a real good filler player, and I don't know how often I've ever seen Flacco do a check down play or even running back screens that often or anything. So
right.
And
probably
that's
the worst team for him. And yeah, right now I think he's essentially the starter. It might be that team's a mess, I think.
Yeah, I forget who their starting running back was, but he went down, right? So now
Terrence West.
Yeah. So now it's a bad.
Wait, what happened to Terrence West? I have him in fantasy.
I don't remember. I just remember he got some catastrophic injury.
Oh man, I better figure things out before the season starts.
All right, Jack. So we do this thing sometimes where we go game by game and we ask you for a W or an L. So let's do.
Wait,
the Chargers.
You're not forcing him to do the roster game?
No, I think let's do the schedule game.
Okay, good. The first podcast without your shitty game. I'm ecstatic.
We could do it at the end if you
no,
want.
No, I should have opened my mouth. All right.
People love the roster game. It's America's favorite recurring segment. All right. So, Jack, they start at Denver. They have that annoying 10-20 Monday night game, which used to be Mike and Mike or Chris Berman. But now I think this year is Rex
Mike
Ryan.
Mike has had it each of the last 2 weeks. It's a really bad time to play.
Yeah. That's a Rex Ryan game this year. That's you're really going to have to watch on mute.
Yeah. Yeah, first game of season, was it 7:20? It's Pacific time 7:20, which is pretty cool for anybody there, not me. But
but it's still the whole week one, you have to wait for your team. Even the regular Monday night game, you have to wait. Then there's this extra Monday night game added on afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it's going to be especially bad because I'm going to be up until 1 a.m. watching us probably. My guess is probably a loss for first game. Probably lose and then be at work just both angry and very tired.
Oh, very tired. I mean, the game might not be over till 2. A Monday night game that starts at 10:20. Push it back if the first game runs late. Then you have this is a weird schedule. You guys have three straight home games right after the road opener.
He loves obsessing over this, even though every team has this every year.
It's three teams a year, but that is weird. That weeks 2, 3, and 4 to have a three game.
Yeah, so luckily I think we have the third toughest NFL schedule this year. That I think our combined opponents win percentage from last year is 57% or something, which kind of really
sucks. Teams, right? You play the AFC East and the NFC East, which is not just hard, but also means a ridiculous amount of travel for an LA team.
Yeah, and the very one thing we have going for us ahead of some of the other teams is that we're playing four straight home games, which is extremely favorable. But other than that, right after that, it's a lot of travel into a lot of very hard teams. Right after the home stretch, it's Raiders, Broncos, Patriots, which is not something
it's
that
a Giants,
call
Raiders,
ideal.
Broncos, Patriots, which is even crazier at Giants at Raiders. It's a crazy stretch. You're right. All right, so let's do it quickly. All right, three home games: hosting Miami, hosting KC, hosting Philly. Wins or losses?
Okay, I think beat Miami, I think beat Chiefs, I think beat Eagles. A lot of this is going to depend on how healthy the team is. Chiefs, I would put it's the most up in the air. Dolphins, I have no question. Chiefs is 51-49 that we'll win. And then Eagles, I'm like a solid like 60-40 that we're going to win. I always count the Eagles out at any given point in time.
Yeah, we're pretty split on the Eagles. I'm not so sure. Some people are super high on them. Also, we've some of our pools people have been really really high on the Eagles. All right, so you're 3-1. That would be a crazy crazy 3-game homestead. You might actually have like a full house by the end of that in San Diego, in LA.
Yeah, I think if we win 3 games, we might actually be able to get like maybe 10 fans off away from like the Raiders.
What's crazy also with that stadium, I was thinking is like if they struggle and they're like at 18,000 a game. There is a minor league soccer team in Cincinnati that's not even in the main American minor league. They're in like the third. I forget what it's called, like the A League or NASL. I forget. I think NASL. They're in the third division, and they average like over 20,000 fans a game. So the Chargers have a chance to be less popular than a third division American soccer team in Cincinnati.
All I can say is it must be great having an owner that actually understands their market.
So you go to by the way, that the awful story this week, did you read anything more about this, that they
trainer
like, the equipment manager
fired.
Moved them up, and that's like a big deal. I remember from watching the Rams on Hard Knocks last year, that's like a crazy job, you know, like you didn't even think about how much they have to move. It's moving like a whole like complex from across the country, and then the second they get there they fire him. That's I feel like that's really bad karma. You guys should go like 2-14 for that.
Yeah, so like a lot of people were bringing this up to me all week, and like I'm still kind of waiting for more information because they didn't even like whenever somebody that's like that long tenured gets like fired or quits or anything, they'll put out a tweet or something and be like thank you so much for XYZ. They've been on this team for this so long. Thank you so like we appreciate everything you've done for us. They didn't say anything about him, which
interesting.
I think it's what I've been saying to everyone is I think it's a 99% chance that it's just the Spanos is being shitheads, which they always and perpetually are, or it's like a 1% chance that he did something fucked up and like they're just trying to
Eli Manning type thing.
Yeah, like they're trying to
maybe like Eli Manning has some like Chargers jerseys from when he was drafted by them for 1 second, and then like they sort of like colluded on faking merchandise and selling that. Is that possible?
That's very. I mean, obviously, Eli is known as a degenerate criminal. So who knows? Maybe him and the trainer.
Right. I hear what you're saying, and also sometimes, unfortunately, like I think he was an older man, and it's probably a hard job. Like it is possible, like he's just no longer. You know what I mean? Like he's just not good enough to do the job anymore, which is like sad, but sure, a lot of times for people in their late 70s.
I'm like waiting for like the insider story on it. Like I want to see like at least like one follow-up.
Laser week one. Like actually, he like murdered a hobo on the way to LA, and you shouldn't feel bad for him.
He's actually the one that was jerking off, and but like the security guy, like behind that one game at the end zone.
F with the cheerleaders. I thought that was like, didn't they catch that guy?
Yeah, I think he got fired. I don't remember if he got prosecuted, which he probably should.
I think they caught that guy, but they didn't say his name, which is almost like win-win. Like that, you know, like he lost that job, but that's like to keep your name out of the paper. There, that's like a miracle.
Yeah, seriously.
What do we have next?
So you go to the Giants and then to the Raiders.
To the Giants, I think it. I want to see more of
you have to go to that game, by the way.
Yeah, no, I've been thinking about it. I don't have as many Giants fans friends as I do Jets fans friends. It's like a very like,
but also you have a lot of Twitter followers. Literally, if you put out like, hey, who wants to take me to the Chargers at Giants game, there's a chance someone might say yes.
There's a very high chance. Yeah, I think I'll see more towards the season, or I could get corporate tickets, thank God. But yeah, I'll take a look at more of that later. But I think probably I want to see how their offense plays out, just because, like, you know, obviously having Marshall and ODB on the same team is kind of amazing. But Eli, I will always not count. I will always underestimate Eli as long as I live. So I will put that as a W, just because their defense is bad.
Wow. So 4 straight wins, and then you go to Oakland.
That I'll see as a loss. I will concede as a loss. Oakland's defense is so good this year and upgraded, and their offense is just as good as last year, and they've proven that they can pick us apart. I think the one battle that is going to prove to be very good through the years is going to be Jason Verrett versus Cooper. So, I mean, I can't wait to see that game. I still think they're going to lose, though.
4-2, and then you host the Broncos.
I am very low on the Broncos this year, but I think that they will probably take that from us, too.
And then so 4-3, you're reeling, and then you go to New England right before the bye.
Yeah, loss. I'm not even going to try and talk myself into a win with that at any point. I don't care if they have no Edelman.
4-4, but the schedule does open up after the bye. And you know, everyone knows if you give Anthony Lynn 2 weeks to prepare, you're basically screwed as the other team. So
yes,
you go
exactly.
To Jacksonville off the bye.
Yes, well, it's a well-known fact. You give Anthony Lynn time, and you will pay. So, they go to Jacksonville, and they win. No question, I think.
So 5-4, and then you host the Bills.
I think a win versus the Bills. I think they're still reeling and trying to rebuild a little more.
Now, you have a Thanksgiving game. I've only, as a Jet fan, we've only played on Thanksgiving once in my lifetime, and we lost 34-7. It was, I believe it was the Kellen Clemens year, and Kellen Clemens.
Wasn't that the Butt Fumble game?
No, the Butt Fumble game was, oh, you're right. The Butt Fumble game was a, I don't consider those the Thanksgiving games. It was the Thursday night.
Yeah,
the late night.
It wasn't the Dallas or Detroit game.
Oh, you only count the Cowboys and the Lions games?
I only count the Cowboys and Lions. I'm old school. But you're right. That was Thanksgiving night. And the Jets will never be, you know, the Jets are lucky to get
the Jets are banned from Thanksgiving permanently.
Oh, Thanksgiving. They're lucky to get the one Thursday night game that each team is contractually on. Yeah, the league hates them so much because they get blown out. They don't show up on any night at any night game. So you go to Dallas. Do you like having the Thanksgiving game?
You know what? I will never not want.
Anyway, it's like tough if you have family over. That's kind of a rough spot.
Yeah, I'm going to be with family probably watching them lose. But I still like having national exposure in primetime games. I will never not want that because then I don't have to use NFL Game Pass or like sites that give my computer billions of viruses and steal my credit card information. I think I still have that. I don't have that sorted out yet. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. First Row Sports, shout out. But yeah.
Oh, shoot. I got to.
Yeah, so I think we'll probably lose that game, but I do really want to see it. Kind of curious to see how Dak does this year, actually. That's another thing I'm kind of looking out for.
So that you have that as loss 6-5, then kind of another cushy home stretch where you have Cleveland and Washington at home. Do you guys sweep both of those?
Yeah, I think winning both. Though I'm very another team I'm kind of interested to see is how Deshaun Kizer has like the helm with the Browns. Do you guys think he is going to end up getting replaced with the Brockett ship at any point this year?
I mean, that's bad. It's hard. The problem with starting the rookie is it's really hard to go from Kizer to back to Osweiler. It's much easier to go from, like, Smith to Mahomes or, you know, like, say, Savage to Watson, if that's what they do. Like, it's hard to bench the rookie, especially Kizer, whose, like, opinion of himself is through the moon.
Yeah.
I was never a big Kizer guy in college, so, you know, I certainly could be wrong. But I was just thinking today about Madden 99 and how Ryan Leaf was higher in Madden 99 than Peyton Manning, and I was God. That makes sense. So don't ask me about rookie quarterbacks, but Leaf was an 80, Peyton Manning was a 78, and Tony Brackens, Chester, do you remember Tony Brackens?
Yeah.
He, defensive end for the Jaguars, made like one Pro Bowl, was 100. The only 100s in Madden 99 were Jerry Rice and Tony Brackens.
What? Yeah, I don't know how Brackens got
it. Doesn't make any sense. Like, he must have literally paid off. Like, now all these guys interact with like the NBA 2K or like the Madden. Yeah. I'm not a video game, but I've seen it on Twitter. Like, back then, like he must have been the only guy who was like friends with him. And I think Tony Baselli, another Jags lineman, was maybe the third 100. And the Rice 100 at that point, 99, was like a pity 100 because he was, you know, Jerry Rice.
Well, he dragged that Raiders team to the Super Bowl 2 years later.
Yeah, no, he was good, but he wasn't 100 anymore. Yeah. And I think Barry Sanders was a 99. All right, that's been Madden 99 talk for the week. all right, so you're 8-5, and then so this is a super must-win game. Saturday night, NFL Network in KC. That could be a big game.
I will absolutely never have respect for the Chiefs at any single point. I don't give a shit about Andy Reid. I don't give a shit about Alex Smith. Or if they start Mahomes, I will absolutely guarantee this.
That's my personal. It's already the Super Bowl,
right? Yeah, that's my lock of the year. Is we will win Week 15 versus the Chiefs.
Oh, wow. That's a big deal because you're 9-5, and then you play the Jets, who at that point that's Hackenberg time. You're really the schedule really lights up for you.
You think that's Hackenberg?
Could be like half out of Washington by December. You got Cleveland in December. They might not be like a franchise anymore. Like, it's crazy. December really opens up if you get past that crazy schedule in October.
Do you guys think it's going to be Petty or it's going to be Hackenberg at that point, week 16?
Well, Petty might not play. Petty looked great, but then he got Chester's a Vikings fan. I'm the Jets fan, but the Petty might be out for the year. Like, he had a really bad injury in the last preseason game. He was playing really well. When Hackenberg got drafted, I said like he's and I wasn't like I, it wasn't like I was sitting watching Penn State games every week, but. Like, you see his stats, and they're atrocious in the Big Ten. And, like, if you can't beat Minnesota, you probably can't beat, like, the Minnesota Vikings. And it doesn't, I thought Hackenberg, and Pro Football Focus said Hackenberg shouldn't have been drafted. So, again, like, the fact that they picked him in the second round doesn't mean, like, he should even get a chance. In my mind, like, had Petty not got hurt, I would have, and the beat writers have agreed with this, I think Hackenberg would not have deserved to make the roster. I think that the GMs like to put their own guys on, and the Jets GM, McCagnan, has only cut one of his drafted players yet so far. So I think he'll for sure make it. But based on what he's done, he has no business making an NFL roster.
I just remember that year when they were showing, like, yeah, this is Christian Hackenberg, watch his best plays. And, like, they were very, like, they were, like, dinking ducks, like, 10-yard passes. And I'm like, Yeah, like everyone else in
the
draft.
The Jets offense thinking and dunking to Matt Forte and Bilal Powell. That's like the best the Jets could hope for this year.
And I was about to...
You've literally never heard of one of the receivers. Like, you know. And
yeah, that's true. And I just remember watching, and like they didn't have a pass that was over like 25, like an, over anything over a 25-yard completion.
There's
and I'm like,
no hope. There is no reason to expect Hackenberg to even be competent. If Hackenberg plays, there's going to be a lot of like 11 for 32 for 127 yards and three interceptions. And yeah. I hope he plays because then like we don't have to worry about him wasting a roster spot next year. But the chance, I've never seen a quarterback in my life who has less of a chance of being competent. Like there's no skill that like if he just improves a little bit. He'll be good. Like he looks like he just learned to play football 2 weeks ago. Always,
and he's just so ugly. His face is so fleshy and like red all the time.
You respect a guy like that, right? If you're like even the offensive linemen, a lot of times they're like ugly guys, right? Like I feel like they're too good looking for Hackenberg.
Yeah, exactly.
So
like when you're
10-5 mm-hmm. in this pretend scenario, what's the Raiders' record going to week 17? Because you guys host them in the final game of the season.
Whatever win we're at, I give them a win over us. They're always
so.
I
this
feel
could
like
be fourth division, 11-4 Raiders, 10-5 Chargers. Winner wins the division. Loser probably still makes the playoffs. Honestly, 10-6 in the AFC probably makes it.
Yeah, I say that Raiders win this game. I think at best, I think this year my most optimistic projection would be that we get wild card.
Yeah, I mean at 10-6, you almost certainly would. So
well, you just doubled from 5 wins to 10.
Yeah, that would be. Listen, Anthony Lynn might be coach of the year if you get 10 wins.
I mean, there's no question he'll be coach of the year if that happens.
We didn't play out unless we want Jack to play out the other 30 games, 30 team schedules. I don't know. Like there could be.
So hold on, Jack. So the over under is the over under for this team is 7.5. So you are locked into the over. That's a guarantee.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Like very much. Like
that's a low number.
Steel trap locked into the over.
Yeah. That's a low.
I mean,
number.
No, it's not. Keith, they won 5 games last year.
I would have guessed that. Okay, you know what? Their coach got fired, and one, we always see like teams with a new coach have a big bump. And even though I'm not super high on Lynn, which would be my hesitation, like they still have an above-average quarterback. Their wide receiver core is absolutely loaded. You know, offensively, skill position, they're like a top 10 team in the league. And they have three fantastic players on defense. So I don't understand the – you know,
well, I mean, all of those things were true, and they went 5 games last year and 4 games the year before.
So this is –
first of all, Allen tore his ACL, what, week one last year?
Yeah.
Preseason?
And week 8 the year before, he had that whatever
liver injury.
Yeah, obviously, if they have as many injuries as last year, they'll probably go 6-10. But if they have average health, I think they're no worse than 8-8. So that's an over for me also.
Yeah, so this is my ultimate – oh, good question.
Well – you know, honestly, well, we'll get to that in a second when I give you my prediction for this division. But I think that this team has so many injuries.
Like AFC West rankings now. What does that mean?
Well, here's the thing. I think
you're like
I think
teasing your own prediction.
No, I'm. Don't worry about me. I just think. Yeah, stay tuned. I think that if Philip Rivers stays healthy, this is a good team, but they already have so many injuries all over the place. And Philip Rivers has never missed a game, so it's not like I'm trying to like jinx it, but
played on an ACL. Played on a torn ACL in an AFC championship game. Never forget it. I won't.
Listen, I'm the one every single year I pick the Chargers to go 10-6, and they haven't gone 10-6 since somebody pointed it out. They haven't won more than 9 games since 2009.
2010, sir, and you had the best offense and the best defense in the NFL and still
they went 8-8 that year.
Yeah. That year, and we had the worst special team, and we had the absolute worst special teams in all football, like by a country mile. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's sort of crazy. Over the last 8 years, the best record this team had is 9-7. Because, And by the way,
the team that missed the playoffs, Jack, was 9-7. The team that was number one in offense and in defense.
Yeah.
Like never been again. We literally were just talking about them a couple weeks ago because like how bad of a metric yard is compared to like.
Well, no, we were talking. This is when we did our 100 greatest quarterbacks of all time because Keeve massively underrates.
Wait, how about this, Jack? We did a like a long series of 100 greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to guess where Philip Rivers is, or is he on the list at all?
And the greatest quarterbacks of all time,
100 greatest quarterbacks.
Okay,
what number do you think Rivers landed?
This depends on what you weigh on different things. So if you're going purely from a statistics standpoint, he's probably within like the top 25, I would guess, just purely on statistics. If you're weighing like championships, a humongous amount, obviously he's going to be like probably in like the top, like, I don't know, 40, 30.
Okay. So, wait, so it's between 25 and. All right. I have him number 26 all time. I have him as a borderline Hall of Famer. Keeve didn't even have him in the top 50.
Okay.
Well,
that's
the truth. I penalized the active players a little bit. Like, I said, like, come back to me.
You didn't. You had tons of. That's not true at all. You had Aaron Rodgers in the.
Penalize Tom Brady. You're correct. Because I don't think there's much you could do to.
You had Aaron Rodgers in the top 10. Philip Rivers has played as long as him.
Let's not compare Rodgers and Rivers. Yeah, but what Jack said was almost perfect, right? Like,
You had Matt Ryan. You had Matt Ryan in the top 40.
All right, Matt Ryan has had a better career than Philip Rivers.
That's an insane thing. Last year was Matt Ryan's first great year, as we discussed, and I don't need to relitigate this from the greatest quarterbacks ranking, but Philip Rivers was the number one quarterback in the league in 2008-2009. It was him and Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. He was much better than Tom Brady. I like Rivers.
I'm definitely not anti-Rivers.
You are anti-Rivers. We argued about this already.
Wait, so let me ask you an insane
question.
One of
the biggest disagreements we had.
So the Giants, they make the Rivers and Manning trade, right? And mm-hmm. the Giants win two Super Bowls with Manning. But objectively, I think all three of us will agree, Philip Rivers is a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
Well, you're just kissing up to our Chargers fan, because when we ranked the quarterbacks, you said the opposite.
Well, I had him for two Super Bowls, but statistically, there is no comparison between Eli and Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers is demonstrably better.
There's no comparison. Yes, he's demonstrably better in every way, not just statistically.
And it's not like he's – I mean, yeah, he did have Tomlinson at the very beginning of his career, right? But, like, it's not like he's been surrounded
by – Tomlinson for most of his career. He had Antonio Gates most of his career.
Yeah. He had Tomlinson as his first year as a starter was Tomlinson's MVP year.
Yeah, when Tomlinson had like 30
years, Chester, since Tomlinson's been on the team. It's, I think, seven years.
But it's been seven years since Rivers was an elite quarterback. That's what I'm saying. People forget how good Rivers was in 2007, 8, 9, 10. Well, you forgot. You had him in the 50s.
Well, listen, I agree that Rivers will probably end up in the ballpark where Jack said statistically 25.
At least 25. Grow your balls and stand to your hatred of Philip Rivers when the Chargers guess this.
Here's the thing. If he never makes a Super Bowl and, like, his ultimately – what did we say his playoff career record is? Like 4-6 or something bad like that?
Okay, Dan Fouts never made a Super Bowl, and you had him in your top 25.
Yeah, but I knocked Dan Fouts out of the top 100.
Sonny Jurgensen never even made the playoffs.
After Dan Fouts made the Sports Illustrated pick of the punter, I knocked Dan Fouts out.
Okay, wait. So where did you put Dan Marino in your ranking?
I think Marino was 7 for me.
He was what? 7 overall?
Well, we both had Brady Manning 1 and 2. And I know you're going to go back and listen to all 6 hours of the podcast.
Well, I had Manning Brady 1 and 2, but yeah.
I had Brady Manning, he had Manning Brady, and then we had Montana United's 3-4. And then there was basically...
Otto Graham. Like, I had Otto Graham 4.
Otto Graham is up there at 5, and then there's a cluster of Elway, Marino, Favre.
I have Marino at 10.
Yeah, it's basically Elway, Marino, Favre, and Steve Young.
Keith has Marino at 6.
And
Keith
you can throw Marino, Aaron Rodgers in. I think that's the definitive top 10.
The objectiveness is this: as soon as you put Marino at 7 and keep Rivers in like the...
No, he had Marino at 6. It's even worse.
Oh, my God.
Because he's a Jets fan. He was afraid of Marino growing up.
I mean, let's not put Rivers and Marino in the same sentence.
I think they're pretty comparable.
That's insane.
I think
you forget how good Philip Rivers was 10 years ago.
Oh, he was great.
Because
he's been mediocre.
Philip Rivers over the last 5 years has basically been sort of a Matt Stafford-esque sort of, you know, slightly above average quarterback, Eli-esque almost, you might even say. But you forget how good he was when, you know.
When he had a competent offensive line.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was part of it.
Well, let's end with this, Jack. So I think you'd agree, like, this is one of these weird teams that's obviously good enough that they could make the playoffs, but I think you'll agree has no chance to win the Super Bowl this year, right?
I would say no with the current talent. My biggest thing going into this, thinking that they have a chance to even get 10 wins, is their coordinators are both amazing. Ken Whisenhunt was in the same year the Rivers had his best statistical year, had his highest accuracy rating of his entire career. Whisenhunt is an offensive genius. Gus Bradley, you can really say what you want about the Jaguars, but they were never, like, defense was never their main problem. So I think he's really good as well. They have the pieces really together, and like you're saying, offensively they're extremely deep at the skill position levels.
Yeah.
So, and their offensive line,
which will help when they all get hurt. But,
yeah, exactly. But so exactly. So once they get hurt, they're back to, instead of being down to like a middle school level team, now they're at like average NFL level talent after everyone gets injured. So I think that that's my biggest two things, is that their coaching staff are like top to bottom. No more Pagano, thank fucking God. No more Frank Reich. No more of any of them. They're all gone, and now we have like our good coordinators back in Lynn. So far, people like him, and just offensive depth and defensive depth. That is my biggest things, and our division being much weaker than last year.
All right, Jack. So before we go, you are a hot take expert. So Keeve invented something called the hot take off.
Oh, let's do it.
He just dropped one when he said Philip Rivers is not a top 50 all-time quarterback. But well, that's a freebie for Keeve. So Keeve and I are each going to give you our hot takes on the 2017 NFL season.
Okay.
And you're going to award a winner. All right. Keeve, you want to go first or second?
You go first, since you just came up with this. And by the way, I will say the starters, the NBA show, the starters – I don't want to say they stole it, because they didn't say our names, but they did. We did this, and then Rob as a podcast did this, and then I did it on Rob as a podcast, and then the starters.
Well,
did it from Rob.
Rob came on our podcast to be the judge when we did it.
Yeah.
Then and you then, went so on his
the
podcast.
The starters
to
did
do it.
Credit robbed, but yeah. So not, it's, yes. it's really
but
sweet.
But Keeve is the original event. All right.
But anyone is
okay. First my game. First hot take for the 2017 season is the New York Jets are going to beat the New England Patriots once this year.
You're saying week 17 on purpose when Belichick lies
that
down.
That certainly could be okay. how it happens. I'm saying the worst team in the league will beat the best team in the league this year.
Okay. That is a really hot take.
All right, Keeve, what's yours?
The Baltimore Ravens are going to have a bottom five pick or a top five pick in the draft.
Actually, I kind of agree with almost both of those. I never count the Jets out for beating the Patriots at least once. For some, like, there's always some weird, like, Jets black magic
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, we beat them in overtime last year. Like,
hold on. So if you agree with both of us, that means you don't think either one of those takes is very hot.
Yeah, so they're not great takes, what you're saying. They're not hot. They're just correct.
Yeah, see, that's part of me being so surrounded by hot takes in my entire existence. Right. It's like sometimes yeah. I get to I become
really when you live on Twitter. I feel like taking the Baltimore Ravens is not yeah. are not going to like blow your. I
like well, my moment. Takes aren't going to be like Aaron Rodgers sucks and should be cut. Like,
well, maybe we should go for like just wrong takes. So that's not a
all right, Keeve. All right, what's your second hot take on the 2017 season?
Why was it a snake draft that takes you go again?
I have to lead off again?
Yeah,
all right,
well,
fine. I'll lead off
I don't know. You probably prepared for this all day while you were sleeping on the bus. I don't
really all right, okay. My second hot take is every single team in the NFC East and, special for the Chargers fan, every single team in the AFC West will have the same record this year. All what? Four teams in that division are going to have the same record.
Is it 8-8, 9-7, 7-9?
Well, most likely one of those, yeah.
A very stupid take. Jack, I hope you give
that's
this.
That's my take.
I will definitely say it's a hot take.
Jack, we rate the takes from 0 to 7 spicy peppers or whatever it was. I think that's like a 1.5. But you're the judge.
You're not the judge, Keeve. What's your fucking take?
Okay.
Ball.
My take. This isn't so much 2017, but you're a Vikings fan, so I'd like to stick it to you. Teddy Bridgewater never takes a snap in the NFL again.
Ooh, yeah, I like
that's
that
not
one.
A hot take. I think that's true. Unfortunately.
Yeah. What do you think about Sammy Sleeves?
Chester's very pro Bradford. Chester will send you like 100. Chester's like an Excel spreadsheet guy. He's got like
thousands. Oh, you're an analytics guy?
He's an analyst guy.
No, first of all, I don't love Bradford. I just
think Bradford is an above average quarterback.
No, I think Bradford and Eli Manning are basically the same.
Eli Manning is a better person than quarterback.
That is also probably not true. Unless you're saying that he's a shithead for selling merch and that he's also a bad quarterback, and that
yeah, I like when announcers, this is a big Jim Nance thing. Jim Nance would be like, you know, Peyton Manning is a great quarterback, but he's an even better person. Wait, he's like the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah,
so is he like Mother Teresa, like cubed as a human? What does that even mean? You know what I mean? Like you're like any NFL player, you're like one of the 1,000 best in the world. Like, is he? He's literally a saint. You know, he's a better person than player. Like, really? You should get paid $10 million a year to be a person then.
One of my hottest takes, I think, is that Eric Weddle essentially owns Peyton Manning's brain. I don't know if you've ever seen their stats face-to-face, but, like, he's intercepted him something like, I think, like 10 times over his career, and a lot of it in batted out passes. There is one gif of him batting down a pass versus Denver, which is, like, I think Weddle got maybe 10 feet in the air, and, like, he has owned Peyton his entire career, and that's my hot take, is that he can't beat Eric Weddle. Except, okay. Right,
by the way, the reason I brought up that take and I referenced it earlier is because my prediction for the NFC West is that all four teams go 9-7. The AFC West, excuse me.
AFC West, okay.
Yeah.
So did you figure out the tiebreakers in your pretend four-way tie, Chester?
Yes, I did, actually.
Like, did you go to like the fourth tiebreaker, like total points four in game?
Yeah, I do. I do have the Raiders winning the division at 9-7.
I can't believe you actually did the tiebreaker. All right,
but by the way, the Raiders are totally going to regress. They had a 31-point differential.
Chester, this is a good idea that you should have fleshed out more by like emailing me earlier in the day, and I would have had like 50 of these ready to go. But maybe we could do these with – we could ask our guests for the final few teams to come up with their own. How about this? Sean Payton gets fired before the end of the season. The Saints go like 5-11, and it's it for the
mid-season.
Payton era.
Mid-season firing for Sean Payton?
Well, not mid-season. Probably like, you know, like on the plane like, you know, after week 16 or something when they lose to Atlanta, let's just say.
Yeah, I don't see that being like completely out of hand or anything like that. I feel like Peyton's kind of been on the hot seat for a pretty long time.
Too many years of like the 32nd best defense in the NFL. Like,
exactly. He's had like that consistent almost like Tom Coughlin syndrome where it's like he's getting fired this year. This is it. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. And then like he's still there next year and they fire somebody else instead, like Rob Ryan.
Yeah. They lose that Super Bowl. He was gone 4 or 5 years ago, so.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like he's far enough removed where it's like they can be like, okay,
like
where is he now?
You know, Shannon won 2, and they just needed like 10 more years. And they're like, oh, yeah, he sucks now. We can get rid of him.
Yeah, exactly. What else you guys got?
Chester, do you have one more?
No, my wife is yelling at me. We have to be at some event at 8 o'clock. I'm like, you don't have to show up on time. She's like, yes, you do.
Oh, I lie. If we have events, if we have a wedding or something, I take the invitation off the fridge or whatever, and I tell my wife the wrong time because she will always be an hour late. We're good here. She doesn't listen, so we could leave that in. I don't think we're in danger of anyone finding that out. Jack, you did such an awesome job. Thanks so much. It was great to finally meet you in person. It's weird because I think people are always like super mean on Twitter, so it's like almost intimidating. Like, oh, this guy's gonna come on, he's gonna like murder us. But like usually when you meet people off Twitter in real life, they're generally nice. Like they're nicer. Not that you're mean on Twitter, but like, you know.
No. Ken, I think what he's saying, Ken, Jack, is that you are a good tweeter, but you're a better person.
I'm a better person. One of the top 10 tweeters, but truly a top 5 person in the United States.
Yeah, that I can get pretty mean to people on Twitter, but I'm a total pussy offline. No one call me out on that ever. Biggest bluff.
Do you meet people off Twitter ever?
Yeah, definitely. I meet people off Twitter all the time. Actually, I think we're probably going to end up doing this. Here's my shameless plug. Myself. Mm-hmm. At Barcel Kenjack, and then also at Trill Ballins and at Jeff D. Lowe. We're starting to do some podcast stuff. We're playing around with doing movie reviews, and most recently, I'll give you guys an exclusive teaser of our most recent podcast. We did a recasting of The Avengers, but with characters from the Adam Sandler universe, like the Happy Madison universe. Yeah. So every single person gets their own individual Happy Madison character.
Oh, that's your banner on your Twitter page?
Yeah, so we did a full recasting, I swear to God, there's parts of it I'm not... you know me. I'm like Marlon.
Can you spoil one of the movies or one of the casting?
I think.
You don't have to.
I'm trying to think of my favorite pick that I had, and yeah. I think my favorite for myself would be I had what's his name, Mr. Deeds, was my Iron Man with Emilio as Jarvis, and then we have our own we have like plot arcs and everything where it's like we tied into the Happy Madison universe because all they do is like shamelessly product promote and everything. But it's very fucking funny because I'm not shouting at myself, but Trill Ballins and Jeff are both hysterical.
Trill Ballins is one of the funniest dudes around. He's nice. He's also like an assassin on Twitter, but maybe he's like super nice in person too. My sister is 16 and she's on like really big on Broadway.
All right, Keith, I don't mean to cut you off. I've been telling you for 10 minutes. I have to go.
It's my great 16-year-old sister story. I'll save it for next time. All right, Jack, it was so awesome having you on. Hopefully we'll have you on for the Chargers in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. I'm leaving that in, by the way. I'm leaving it in me yelling at you.
Okay, that's fine. All right, thanks so much, Jack. Have a good one.
Thanks so much,
Jack,
guys.
Barcel Kenjack on Twitter, and good luck to the Chargers this year. Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys. We'll need it.
Bye.